Welcome to the Tide Sports postseason edition of Picks Fighting Against Futility. And we will pick, there are so many bowl games. I don't think there are too many. The more the merrier, as far as I'm concerned. But there are so many bowl games that we're going to split this into two podcasts. We're going to do some of the early bowls, some of the pre-Christmas, around Christmas, that Christmas week kind of thing. Do 10 games on this one, and then have another podcast with the New Year's Six and the playoffs and so forth. Probably a picks extravaganza to close out the year. But some interesting games here, one SEC game and some others, and so we will go to Clint to take us into what we're picking and who we feel like can close their season on a positive note.
All right. So, guys, first game on the list, Florida Atlantic is taking on SMU in the Boca Raton Bowl on December 21st.
That's the Cherubundi Boca Raton Bowl. Cherubundi with cherry. They're actually pretty good if you take the sugar, you know.
So Lane Kiffin is now gone to Ole Miss. Willie Taggart, former FSU head coach, steps in. Who you guys got? SMU is a 3-point favorite in this game.
I'm going SMU.
I am too. I wish Lane were. I mean, I'm glad Lane got his SEC job, but you know, it'd probably be more interesting in a way if Lane were coaching in this one. But yeah, I think I'm going to go SMU here.
Yeah, part of me thought about going Florida Atlantic just because both offenses are really explosive, but I feel like Florida Atlantic's defense is playing a little bit better right now. But I think I'm going to go SMU as well. I just think that they could probably end up. What's the over in that game? Do you know?
Over? I can sure tell you.
I'm sure it's got to be high.
Asking these difficult questions. 71 points.
Ooh, okay.
It is high.
Yeah, that's really high. That's maybe actually a little higher than I thought it was going to be. But yeah, I'm going to go SMU as well. Next game on the list, Washington is a 3.5-point favorite against Boise State in the Las Vegas Bowl.
Chris Peterson against his old team.
Right. I was about to ask if he's still coaching in this.
Yeah, I think it's his final game.
He is. He's wrapping it up. And this isn't a criticism. It's just different life. You know, that's so West Coast to say, well, I'm gonna coach against my old team and then chill for a while.
You think he coaches again?
Yeah, I do. I think the way that he's done this, you know, there's a lot of speculation, since this show is not above repeating speculation, that he may wait a year or two. Brian Harsin, the current Boise coach, gets a Pac-12 job somewhere or an NFL job, and
he goes back.
He slides back to Boise.
Interesting. Okay, so who you guys got?
I didn't hear the line.
The line is
3.5.
Washington's a 3.5-point favorite.
You going Boise?
I am too.
They're historically pretty good in bowl games.
They have.
I think I'm going to go Washington, though. I think Washington's got a lot of offensive talent. And, yeah, I think I need to kind of go ahead and start mixing some of this stuff up, trying to make up a couple games right here at the tail end. So both you guys went Boise, and I went Washington. Next game on the list, UAB is taking on Appalachian State. Appalachian State is a 16.5-point favorite in the New Orleans Bowl. Started off at 17.5, has dropped a point.
Yeah, I thought that line was a little bit big. I mean, I certainly don't fancy myself an expert on either UAB or Appalachian State.
But especially with Drinkwich going to Missouri.
Right. Bill Clark's hanging around. So
yeah.
I'm going to go UAB.
Yeah, that's a lot of points.
Yeah, here's what I think has A, made the line so high, and B, would give me pause, was that UAB just got routed by FAU in the CUSA game.
They've really struggled offensively down the stretch.
They've struggled offensively. 16 is a lot of points. That's really about the only game of the ones we're picking that's got one of those big lines. But I think App State can cover it.
So. Yeah, I think they can too. Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, UAB's defense has been pretty good this year, so they're going to have to be if they want a chance of keeping it within, which you never know in these bowl games. I mean, the good part about it for people giving up the points and taking Appalachian State is they're not one of those teams that's going to not want to be there.
Right.
You know, even though they're a top 25 team and clearly the better team of the two, you know, they should still be up for it and should have something still to prove. So.
And it's a nice trip for UAB. You know, congratulations to Bill Clark.
He's done a phenomenal job, hasn't
he? Take him out, get a po' boy at R&O, and I think the team would appreciate that dining tip in New Orleans.
All right, next game on the list, BYU is a two-point favorite against Hawaii in the Hawaii Bowl on Christmas Eve.
This is an interesting game. This is Hawaii's done some good things this year. BYU started slowly and has kind of come back. So it's.
I think it's going to come down to who's the better coach, Lavelle Edwards or June Jones.
That would be a great matchup.
June Jones still at Hawaii?
No, that was the joke.
Oh, I was like, wait a minute, hold up.
That's the joke.
No. I totally admit that. Who is the head coach of Hawaii now? Do y'all know? I don't know.
I have no idea.
Man.
Stop asking questions that nobody knows the answer to. Gosh.
Making us look bad?
Yeah, that's all right.
Let's see. I'm going to go with Hawaii.
I'm going to go BYU.
Oh, man, I get to decide here.
Yeah, BYU did play Hawaii last season and beat them 49-23. Pretty big blowout. Now, there's been, some turnover. No two teams are the same, but...
No, this is a pretty big rivalry. Hawaii's head football coach is Nick Rolovich, who is a good coach. I did have to look it up, but has done a good job there. I'm going to go BYU in this one.
All right.
I'm going to take the 2 points. I don't know what 2 points mean on the island, but
right.
I'm going to take them.
All right. So we're going to take a quick break. That's 5 games out of the 10. And when we come back, we'll continue on and finish up these college football pick'ems for some of the early bowl games. This has been the Bama Beat Podcast, brought to you by Zaxby's and Wickles.
Welcome back to the Bama Beat Pick Podcast, brought to you by Zaxby's and Wickles. A quick moment here about Wickles. Wickedly delicious pickles, relishes, okra, and much more. Wickles are proud to be an Alabama-owned and made using a family recipe 90 years in the making. From Saturday sandwiches to Christmas dinner, their secret recipe has been reserved for family and friends who were lucky enough to get a jar. But since 1998, they've been bringing the sweet heat and bold and tangy flavors into your home. Learn more about them at WicklesPickles.com and find them in your local grocery store in the pickle aisle. Let's get wicked. And a quick minute about Wickles. If you're one of my customers, you're actually getting jars of Wickles as your Christmas gift. I'm very excited to be bringing those to everybody, so you might be seeing those in the next couple weeks.
How do I become one of your customers between now
and... I've not given you Wickles yet, man.
You have not given me... I went and got my own.
Oh, really?
You know,
dude,
yeah,
they hooked
phenomenal.
Me up. I got a case upstairs. So
oh, good deal.
I'll get you some Wickles.
I actually just tried for the first time. It's apparently a West Coast thing. Pickle peanut butter sandwich, tried that, and it ended up being phenomenal. I know I judged it too when I first heard it, but Wickles is
one
what...
thing I like to do with the Wickles is I'll do a pimento cheese sandwich with Wickles. I'll take some palmetto cheese, the jalapeno palmetto cheese,
yeah.
Put some Wickles on there. That's kind of a free ad for palmetto cheese, but it's really good too. And put some Wickles on there, outstanding.
Phenomenal. All right, so we're going to dive right back into these college football picks for the early slate of the bowl games. Next game on the list, North Carolina is a 4.5-point favorite against Temple in the Military Bowl up in Annapolis, Maryland. Start off at 6, has dropped 4.5.
Temple's, you know, had a really nice year. They're 8-4. Max, I'm going to be honest, Max done better than I thought he
way
would.
Down.
And this one, this is a really hard pick. What do we take, 4.5?
4.5.
4.5. I'm going to take Temple. I'm going to lay the 4.5.
I'm going Temple also.
I am too, actually. I think one of the more intriguing matchups of this bowl season, or this early slate of games at least, is Temple's defense against Sam Howell, that freshman quarterback from North Carolina. That should be a lot of fun. But, you know, I think Temple could actually end up they always tend to do well in the bowl games too, if I'm not mistaken,
yeah,
historically. So I'm definitely going to take them as well.
The day before, we're going to pick one that we changed around, but we're going to pick Shreveport because it's Shreveport, by gosh. And good things happen in Shreveport in terms of bowl games.
Well, I know I can. Cecil and I have both spent many a December in Shreveport. you have not really truly experienced Shreveport unless you've opened Christmas gifts in a casino in Shreveport in back-to-back years, as I have. It is... that's one thing that I'm really thankful for with the Saban era. You can talk about how much better we are at football and everything. I'm glad that I don't have to open Christmas presents in Shreveport.
Also, since Clint is such a pill about these things, in the Miami-Louisiana Tech matchup, and that's really almost a home game for Louisiana Tech.
Right. They played A&M at home there back in 2012, I think.
Yeah, Rustin's, what, 30 miles or something.
Right. Grambling and Rustin are both right there close.
Right. I know both head coaches in this game, Skip Holtz at Louisiana Tech and Manny Diaz at Miami. So another one that's tough to pick,
So Miami's a 6-point favorite.
They are, and I'm taking the 6. I'm taking Skip and the Bulldogs.
Yeah, I am too. I kind of wonder how the weather's going to be in this game too. If it's chilly, is Miami going to be ready to play in a cold game in Shreveport, Louisiana? Whereas I think Louisiana Tech's probably going to be excited to be there and playing in front of their home.
That's
home
the big thing
to
me.
They are 6-0 at home this year, and if you call this a home game.
Yeah.
That's the big thing, because I was going to take Louisiana Tech, and it's because how based off of where people thought Diaz was going to have Miami this season compared to where they're actually at. Do they really want to be playing in the Independence Bowl?
How excited are people? I mean, they live in Coral Gables. They're going to Shreveport.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so I don't know the motivation factor. With these bowl games, typically, I don't know. I heard from someone that does a lot of gambling, because I don't do it a lot myself, but he said that he's run a study the last, 9 or 10 years, and if you would have taken dogs in every single bowl game, you would have made money for the last 9-10 years straight. So anytime that I'm kind of on the fence about a game, I typically like to take the dog and in these bowl games, so I'm gonna go Louisiana
and
Tech.
You literally are taking the dog as they are the Bulldogs.
Fair enough. Good catch.
That should be a fun game. That's a Thursday game the day after Christmas. So see, and that's exactly what America needs, is a 3 o'clock game on the day after Christmas.
Right.
That's what America needs.
Fair enough. All right, next game on the list. Michigan State is taking on Wake Forest, and Michigan State is a 4.5-point favorite in the Pinstripe Bowl.
The weather and the field conditions are always miserable.
Right.
At the Pinstripe Bowl, which somehow that sort of misery makes me think of Michigan State football.
Yeah, like they're used to it.
Like that's how they live.
Right.
You know, that's their brand, so to speak.
What's the line on this one again?
4.5. It started off at 3.5.
Spartans are a 4.5-point favorite.
It's climbed to 4.5 from 3.
I'm going Michigan State.
I think I'm going to go Wake Forest. Michigan State's just so miserable to watch to me.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, and their defense in comparison to where they've been at the last several years, kind of like maybe not to the same degree as Alabama, but they're just not nearly as good. I like Wake Forest passing attack with Jamie Newman. I think he's the X factor in this game. I'm definitely taking Wake Forest.
Whereas Alabama had Saban's joyless murder ball, it's like they have D'Antonio's joyless ball.
Oh, man.
Y'all seem to forget that Wake Forest is the LSU of the ACC.
That's right.
That's the big game that Clemson won. That was their conference battle for conference supremacy.
And they were, a 30-point favorite in that game?
They were a 30-point favorite at all.
I think we need to clarify here, because we've said this a lot, and I completely agree, but people think that when we talk about Clemson like this, we're saying they're not a good team, and that's not what we're saying at all. We're just saying they haven't played anybody, which is a fact. I've had a lot of people in my mentions talking about that.
And all I want is for somebody that's connected to say, what a great deal, man. We didn't have to play anybody, and now we got a really good team that's not beat up in the playoffs.
Right. It was a fortunate year for them. It was fortunate.
That's good scheduling fortune.
Yes.
But I don't want anybody telling me on Wake Forest as a tough game that they had to play. Now, with that said, I'm taking Wake Forest.
Fair enough. All right. So
what the heck? I think they will cover. But I have no confidence in that pick, but I'm taking Wake Forest.
Is it just me, or is Hunter going the opposite on a lot of these games?
I got ground to make up, man.
This is either gonna be really good or really bad for one of us.
I'm picking first on pretty much all these.
Oh yeah, you're not.
Y'all
you're,
are going in.
Yeah, I just think that's the way it ends up working out. And
it could be that y'all seen the way I've picked all year, and if he thinks that, there's no way I'm going there.
Well, I mean, what can I say? My picks, I think, are in the same exact range. Which, by the way, come next week's Bowl Pick'em podcast for the second part of this, I'll actually have the final. We're not, you know, the final standings for the regular season, plus the championship week, and then we'll kind of know exactly where we stand heading into the later part of these bowls. All right, next game on the list is the only SEC game on this slate. Texas A&M is a 7-point favorite over Oklahoma State, and it started off at 4 points, so it's climbed a lot.
Yeah, and Hubbard's playing for Oklahoma. The running back's playing.
I'm going Oklahoma State here.
Well, Justin Matabuke, however you say it, him sitting out, that's going to hurt their run defense for sure. Hubert's playing, Hubbard, however you say that.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah, I think I might be leaning towards Oklahoma State as well.
And this isn't insulting, and they gave a good effort against Georgia and fairly reasonable, I guess, Clemson and Alabama, but what a mediocre year Texas A&M had.
It's the same, and they
it was a tough schedule.
The same results. It was a tough schedule.
It was a tough schedule.
It was the toughest schedule in America.
Yeah, but still, at the same time, they did not. Auburn at least stole one from Alabama. Yeah. You know, they said you got to win one of those or two of those. Was able to.
We could and probably did, but you could have come in here August the 28th before their first game and said, well, they should win these seven and these other five are going to be close. And they won the seven, you'd say they should win, and they lost the five that were going to make or break their season.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of them weren't close.
And some of them were not close. And you know, I'll cut them a little slack, that 50-7 LSU. That was a bad situation to walk into. You still should not lose 50-7, but that was an LSU celebration. You could tell A&M didn't want to be there, and so that's I cut them a little slack.
What was Georgia's excuse?
I don't know. They banged up a little bit. Swift was banged up a little bit. And LSU's good. Nobody needs an excuse, you know. I liked this a lot more at -4, but I'm going to take A&M at -7.
Yeah, my initial gut was saying Oklahoma State, and while in these games with SEC teams, when I'm on the fence, I typically like to go with the SEC squad, but I think I'm going to go Oklahoma State as well. I'm just going to stick with that.
At seven.
Yeah.
A big difference in that and four.
The other big thing is, what is Texas A&M, Oklahoma State's quarterback situation? That might have something to do with the line. Is their starter still banged up?
Absolutely no idea.
I'll be curious.
I've checked out from football a lot in the last 3 weeks.
Which is fair.
I'm recouping from Alabama's trip to the Plains, I think. Oklahoma State played okay against Oklahoma. You know, they came into that game on a 4-game win streak.
And they're a top 25 team right now, technically.
But for some reason, I'm just maybe A&M's just due. You know, they're just due to win a toss-up game. I'm going to take them here.
Yeah, this is going to be that one game that I immediately get done with this podcast and think to myself, I really regret not picking Texas A&M. But I've said it.
Yeah,
it's locked.
No matter what happens, it's like, God, I knew I should have done that. But I'm going to lay 7 points, which is even 6.5 would make me feel better.
Maybe next year we should have some type of competition, or not competition, but like, the person who finishes in last place has to do something.
Yeah.
Like I saw on somewhere, like a fantasy football loser had to go and stay at Waffle House for 24 hours. And for every waffle that they ate, that cut an hour down. So that kind of gets you into like, all right, do I want to go commit to 12 hours but eat 12 waffles and a waffle an hour?
Or do I think I can eat
like six in that first hour and then a waffle for the next, two waffles an hour for a while? Like, present some options.
I would cut it down to maybe 21 hours and sit there for 20. There's no way I'm eating more than 3 waffles. I'd never, man, that's miserable.
Yeah,
that's what you get for finishing last.
Yeah, I guess so.
Can you imagine the crash you'd have after that, though, if you actually did try to get into those waffles a good bit?
Do it like 6, 6, and 6, get out of there with 6 hours to go.
That's tough. I also heard of a radio station up in North Alabama that's doing like everybody's picking something that they have to shave. One guy set his legs, one guy is doing his head, and the other guy might have been.
I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
I was going to say eyebrows, but.
Yeah, that'd be good. Let's go with eyebrows. What do we got? One more to pick?
Two more. Next game on the list is USC is taking on Iowa, and Iowa's a 2-point favorite in the Holiday Bowl in San Diego.
USC Alabama's 2020 opener, which is part of the interest in this. Slovis at quarterback. They are not bad now. They're not bad. I don't know how that's going to be perceived next year. They've made the decision to bring Clay Helton back. I'm not getting ahead of myself, but one reason you watch bowl games, one reason you watch Alabama's bowl game is a little glimpse at 2020. So I'm very interested in this game because Southern Cal being Alabama's opener.
And my second favorite team, Iowa.
The Hawks. Opened at Iowa 2.5. It's gone to -2.
Who's favorite?
I'll go first since Iowa says he always has to go first. I'm taking Southern Cal in the 2 points.
I am as well.
I'll go the opposite way. I'll go Iowa. Did y'all, which you might not be keeping up with other teams' recruiting rankings or anything, Cecil, but.
No, I've seen that. You know,
USC's way on down there.
They are. They just had so much coaching uncertainty all year.
Right. But for a program like USC, like to be that far down, I don't know. I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, I don't know there are some things you can do, whether it's try and hit some JUCO guys, try and pick and choose, see what. Probably where they are right now with signing day tomorrow, we're taping this on Tuesday. With signing day tomorrow, they're going to look and see who doesn't sign early.
Right.
And then really
go
say,
hard.
Look, we can promise you. And try and hit it harder in February.
Yeah, that's
and
exactly.
And I think they will be able to do that to an extent. But yeah, that's just a big example of what coaching uncertainty can do for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Iowa, surprisingly, offensively, they have a lot of NFL talent. And it's at the in the trenches a lot more than it is at the skill positions like tight end, like they had with those two tight ends last year. So, yeah, I think I'm going to go Iowa in this one. The last game on the list is Washington State is a 3-point favorite against Air Force in the Cheez-It Bowl.
The Cheez-It was last year's craziest bowl, I think, other than, I guess, the one in Dallas that got completely canceled.
Right. But I could see this one getting kind of weird.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Like, Air Force has the number 124 passing offense, and Washington State has the number 122 passing defense.
Right.
So both of, like, their, you know, I mean, granted, Air Force just never really passes it, but the most exploitable part about Washington State's team is their pass defense, and Air Force doesn't have a passing game to exploit it.
Right. This isn't a direct comparison, and I think Leach will do a better job of this, but I just can't help remembering Army putting up 70 on Houston last year, because if you don't get out there and prepare for that triple option,
right,
and they get it rolling, and your assignment defense is bad. And Washington State is not known for defensive prowess anyway.
Yeah.
When they get the ball, they'll be able to throw it.
Are you saying they might run through them like ass through a tin horn?
They might. They could. Air Force is 10-2.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a heck of a year.
I'm going Air Force.
I am too, at -3. It's giving up some points. Anything is possible in this game. But I'm going Air Force, so.
Man, now you got me rethinking it. I'm going to stick with Washington State because that's what I initially thought, but.
Clint, were you much of an NCAA football player like EA Sports?
Back in the day,
back
oh
in the
yeah.
Day?
Oh, yeah.
Air Force used to be my favorite team to do a dynasty with.
Really?
Yeah, because I loved running the triple option. I would change the playbook and throw in a little shotgun so I could throw the ball like reasonably, too.
Right.
But, oh, it was so much fun running the triple option.
Man, I was a huge fan of West Virginia with Noah Devine and Pat White back in the day. That was my. But Air Force, I don't think I've ever played against anybody that used Air Force.
I wasn't playing against people. It was just like my own personal dynasty. Like, that's who I'm playing with.
Building that program into a juggernaut.
I got invited to the Big 12, like, because I'd done so well. And then, of course, Mama called, and I took the job at Alabama eventually once that happened.
See, I was more, y'all are far more technologically advanced. I was more of a Tecmo Bowl, Bo Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I played a little bit of that. I was just a little bit before my time. But
Tecmo Bo was like Superman and Captain Marvel combined.
You talk about Bo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You couldn't stop him in Tecmo.
Man, blast from the past. Bringing NCAA back, I hope, eventually.
Yeah, I would love it. I even thought about like trying to like get an old PS2 and get an old version of the game and just playing it because I loved it so much.
Yeah, I was a huge fan. That was like one of my favorite times of year was the day it came out. I would immediately have figured out some kind of way as a kid, how am I getting this $50, $60 to right. make this purchase because it's happening.
Right.
Go work a little bit, beg the parents, whatever I needed
Take
to do.
Take the change jar out and just pour it out and see what you get.
That's right.
$18, and then you got to go to your grandmother and see if you can get the rest.
Yeah, yep. She'll subsidize. Look, I can put up 30%.
Yeah, you ended up doing like 16 hours of chores and getting paid like $20 to do it. Right. Like, just the most ridiculously.
And then you just played the video game for 10 hours a day for like the rest
I was,
of the
yeah,
summer.
Yeah, I was useless. That was the only work I do that summer. Yeah. All right, so that's going to wrap it up. For this episode of the Bama Beat Podcast, we appreciate you guys tuning in. This is Clint Lamb sitting here with Cecil Hurt and Hunter Johnson. This has been the Bama Beat, brought to you by Zaxby's and Wickles.